Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace towards us in your Son. And we pray you give us a fresh glimpse of the wonder of what it means that you have become human in Christ. Help us as we learn from your word, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, Christmas, of course, provokes so many emotions in all of us. And at the heart of Christmas is one of the most profound truths it is possible to appreciate. Yet in all the trappings of the season, it's easy to lose sight of something that matters every day of the year. Our two Bible readings have been read for hundreds of years at this time. They are the readings in the Book of Common Prayer for Christmas Day. In the Gospel, John tells us that God, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that God the Father has spoken through God the Son, who is the perfect reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. The one we remember born at Christmas is none other than God himself come to earth as a man, fully human and fully God. Now, to help us to think a little about what that means this morning, I'm going to read a short story called The Long Silence. The end of time, billions of people were seated on a great plain before God's throne. Most shrank back from the brilliant light behind them. But some groups near the front talked heatedly, not cringing with shame, but with hostility. "Can God judge us?" snapped a slim young woman, ripping open a sleeve to reveal a tattooed number from a Nazi concentration camp. "How can he know about suffering? We endured terror, beatings, torture, death." In another group, a black boy lowered his collar. "What about this?" he demanded, showing an ugly rope burn. "Lynched for no crime but the colour of my skin." In another crowd, there was a young girl who had been trafficked as a slave. "Why should I suffer? It wasn't my fault." Far out across the plain were hundreds of such groups. Each had a complaint against God for the evil and suffering that he had permitted in his world. "How lucky God is to live in heaven, where all is sweetness and light, where there's no weeping or fear, no hunger or hatred. What does God know of all that human beings have been forced to endure in this world?" They all agreed, "God leads a pretty sheltered life." So each of these groups sent forth their leader, chosen because they had suffered the most. A Jewish person from Nazi Germany, a 1960s urban black South African, a woman from Hiroshima, a seriously disabled child, a refugee. In the centre of the vast plain, they consulted with each other. At last, they were ready to present their case. It was rather clever. Before God could be qualified to be their judge, he must endure what they had endured. Their decision was, God should be sentenced to live on earth as a man. And they continued their judgment. Let him be born a Jew. Let the legitimacy of his birth be questioned. Give him a work so difficult that even his family will think him out of his mind. Let him be betrayed by his closest friends. Let him face false charges, be tried by a prejudiced jury and convicted by a cowardly judge. Let him be tortured. At the last, let him see what it means to be terribly alone. Then let him die, so there can be no question that he died. Let there be a great number of witnesses to verify it. As each leader pronounced their portion of the sentence, loud murmurs of approval went out from the throng of people assembled. When the last had finished pronouncing sentence, there was a long silence. No one uttered a word. No one moved. For suddenly, all knew that God had already served his sentence. Well, Christmas tells us that the divine Word of God has become a human being. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, the Word, we're told, became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, with connections to the Old Testament temporary temple, it says, Jesus, God the eternal Word, tabernacled among us. He made his tent among us. God has come and lived a human life. He has experienced life on earth in all its ups and all its downs. So that means that God doesn't just look on from heaven and offer a few words of detached sympathy. God has come and got involved in our world and its difficulties. In a few minutes, we're going to sing the carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, which includes these words. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching all your flocks by night, God with us is now residing. See, not only has God come and shared human life, but by entering our world and then dying on the cross, as we remember as we share communion, before being raised from the dead, God, through Jesus, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it, has made purification for sins. God has opened up the way to himself and then lives in us by his Holy Spirit so that we can live out his life in a broken world together with others. We sang a few moments ago in the first Noel, sing praises to our heavenly Lord, who hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. A few days ago, we got a Christmas letter from some friends in a large city in the north of England. They spend a lot of time with needy people from all over the world, and they concluded their letter with a fitting greeting. May your Christmas be filled with the joy of remembering that our God was willing to join us in our mess so we could join his family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the wonder of the truth that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We pray for ourselves that that truth would be a tremendous encouragement and comfort. We pray too that you would strengthen us to live out the implications of it, to be a witness to this needy world, pointing others to Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.